Welcome to episode 14 of the Dean's Podcast, the podcast about issues shaping graduate studies in Canada. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Carolyn Waters, and I'm the Dean of Graduate Studies at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Last year, I was the president of the Canadian Association of Graduate Studies. Every month, you can listen in as I talk to other deans, faculty, postdocs, and graduate students about what's going on in Canada. This episode is part one of a two-part series on why an academic would want to become a university administrator. Clearly, the role of administrators at universities is extremely important. They make decisions about programs, policy, and set agendas. But why would you want to leave your academic position to do that? And how would you get your turn at administration if you did want to? In this first episode, I speak to Jack Duffy, a professor at Dalhousie University who is a self-described reluctant administrator who came to actually like his role as an administrator. He offers some good advice on why academics should not shy away from the incredible opportunities that these positions offer and some good tips on getting yourself ready if you want to do that. Let's listen in. Okay, so I'm here in Halifax today at Dalhousie with Jack Duffy, and we're just starting a little experiment, an exploration on why would a sensible faculty member consider taking on an administrative role. So Jack, in some previous life, was the director, the keeper of the interdisciplinary PhD program, monitoring its growth from 60 to over 100, teaching courses, looking after plans, looking after students, doing every hat you can imagine. So the real question here is, Jack, so why would an academic, a successful academic, consider moving into an administrative role?
When I got my PhD, a professor of philosophy, who was the internal external, kind of an oxymoron, said to me, Jack, you're going into academia. After you get tenure, let me just give you advice. Someday you'll get tenure. I know you will. The surest way out of the tenured Garden of Eden is to take a bite of the administrative apple. And I heeded Dick Van Eyten's advice for 30-some-odd years. And then I said, well, I'm coming up. I only got about 5-7 years left. And I just said, maybe I ought to violate it just to see how bad it really is. And I wrote him after 2 years and said, you were right, Dick. I shouldn't have taken a bite of the administrative apple. Having said that, I'm actually glad I did. And frankly, if I were to roll the clock back, I would have done it. I'd do it again. So your question, I guess, long answer is that one. The short answer is I thought I could do some good, and I believed in the program.
Okay, so maybe you could tell us a little bit about your sort of research faculty role and, you know, how you got into your administrative role.
Okay, I was a professor in the School of Business, and the School of Business had not much in the way of a research culture. I got cross-appointed in computer science, which has a very strong research culture. I fell into cahoots with two other faculty there, and we started doing a lot of interesting research with our students. So I really got back to my research roots, I would say, in the last third of my career. And then this thing came up. I was on the admissions committee of the interdisciplinary PhD program. You at the time were associate dean, and you had gone off on a six-month sabbatical, I believe. And I saw that the program really needed leadership. And then you came back, and you were dean, and I just said, this program's really going to need some leadership, and I looked around and thought, well, I'm probably the best guy for it. And I had a lot of ideas of where I thought it should go. So it was a familiarity, seeing where it would take it to the next level. Saw that it was a great program. It was already you had established an extremely good base on it. And I guess at the end of the day, I said, okay, well, I'll do 2 years and see if I can do things, make it better.
So Jack wasn't your regular director. First of all, he wanted to be called the keeper. Which I'll let him explain.
When I took over, we didn't know what to call the title. So I had a contest for name my title. and I had students and other administrators come forward with titles. It was during the World Cup soccer. And by the way, the prize was for first, the one that gets chosen first was, I think it was a cup of coffee. I'll buy you a cup of coffee and give you an hour of career counseling. And second place was a cup of coffee and 2 hours of career counseling. So the winning,
I think I got third prize. Yeah,
the winning entry came from Sonny Marsh, who'd been at that point he was acting associate dean of grad studies, and he suggested keeper because he thought it was the World Cup, and I was the keeper is important in the team's success, and he liked the double play on it. It was a keeper of things out of the goal, but also keeping of the goal, the goals of the program. I thought that was clever, but I didn't think it was a winning entry. And then he got an email from a prospective student, and he emailed back to her copying me. He said, "You will have to contact the keeper of the program." Now, this is before the title was even awarded or finalized. And the student wrote and said, "I understand you're the keeper of the Institution PhD program." And I said, "My God, he's already test marketed it, and it went fine. So how can I turn it down?" So that's how I got the title.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the good, bad, and the ugly of being an administrator. So how about the good part first?
Okay, the good part, I'll keep this quick.
He lasted 2 years.
The good part was rewarding in that you could see impact, positive impact. I know I helped students. Students were very receptive to me. In fact, I ended up with they organized, and I was the first, I believe, the first graduate student, what do they call it, top advisor or whatever, of the year, graduate student advisor of the year, and I was the first to win that. At Dalhousie. And that's done by the students putting forward a fair amount of work that they had to do to get me there, unbeknownst to me. I didn't even know the award existed, let alone I was going to get it. So that was rewarding to see students graduating, getting their PhD and progressing through was extremely rewarding. To have them come to our professional development workshops, which we pilot tested, if you will, there, which now we do for the postdoctoral fellows. So I thought we got a lot of things accomplished that I was very proud of.
So three things you haven't mentioned. One was the building of the cohort. Second was the house. And the third would be the Duffy Award.
Yeah, the house was an interesting one because we were squatters in this house when the faculty of management moved into their new building. And the house provided a lot of use. We used it, but we also had, it was just a locus that people could physically point at. That's the home of the ID PhD. And I think that was important, and the students did certainly appreciate that.
And Jack used his hammer.
I was the factotum. I was patching it up. I was hanging things. I was doing everything in there. And every one of the graduate students I was in when I was a graduate student, all the ones who went to academia at one point or another had offices in the house, and every one of them told me it was the best office they ever had. And I will say the same thing. And I hadn't until that time, and it's just an atmosphere that's a not cold office atmosphere. The second one was we did really, I think, build a lot of camaraderie in the program. And again, the house played, from my feedback, I think played a little bit of that. I absolutely still to this day remember walking in, and we had right off to the side was a living room area. And I could hear, first time I heard three students discussing research. And I said, this is what it should be. about in a program like this. The peer things, I learned more from my fellow graduate students than I ever learned from a professor. So that really helped a lot. The Duffy Award, we just looked at, we were on a shoestring, and my wife and I said, well, you know, instead of giving money to Dalhousie in general, which we had been doing, and we just finished a new building donation campaign where we were on that, we said, why don't we earmark it for the interdisciplinary PhD program? And so that came through, and I guess everyone at FGS, you in particular, said, ooh, wow, maybe we should get more people earmarking things, and what can we do to this? And it was a pittance of a sum, but I think it got a ball rolling. And then we turned around and gave that to the students that had contributed the most to the program. So we've had three now.
I think three. Maybe three, yeah.
Yeah, three.
So it was the students who actually called it the Duffy Awards. So
yes.
I think that's a mark of how much they appreciated the hammering and whatever went on over there. So that's the good part. The bad part?
I have never, ever had a job where... I've had lots of jobs where I got behind and had stacks of things to do. I've never had a job where I couldn't prioritize them, except for this job. There was no point in going through the stack saying, doing triage, what I had to, just start right at the top and keep going till you get to the bottom. They all had to get done.
So did you put things on the top or on the bottom?
I just had said, well, I worked it. It was, first in, first out, I guess, or last in, first out. But you just had to work on that. How did those stacks not get worked on? That's the second part of the job that actually was very disconcerting, is the very fabric of an admin job in academia is, I'll say it redundantly to emphasize it, unscheduled interruptions.
Fighting fires?
Yeah, things that just happen. And I'm a goal setter. I really believe in goal setting. And so I'll walk into work and I'll say, okay, the three things I want to get done today are A, B, and C. And I'd be walking into work the next day and say, okay, now those A, B, and C, they're still the three things I want to get done today. And it would be days and days. I would still have the same thing. I didn't get one of those goals done. And I found that frustrating.
Okay, the ugly.
Oh, we had an applicant who plagiarized, and some of the email exchange with him was starting to get into threatening. I thought that was pretty bad. I had to mediate a number of student-supervisor conflicts, changing of committees, getting people off. Gracefully, without them having too much ill will, because ultimately, even though they're off the committee, they're still somewhere in the students' program, and they could become quite a negative obstruction for the students. So, trying to smooth things out and with the least amount of collateral damage. Yeah, and again, those things were never scheduled. The phone rang, or the student came in crying.
Yeah, nor did you have any prior training in this in particular.
No. So, my prior training was observation. I have debated in retirement here of writing a management text. I'm going to call it Theories of Mismanagement. And I'm going to draw very heavily on my academic experiences.
Okay, well, let's segue from that into best practices for some young faculty member who sees some administrative role as a career path. What best practices would you give to make that happen?
I would wait till you get tenure.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Given.
So for a new faculty member, do not think of something like that while you're an assistant professor. Do collaborate with lots of people. Do get your career on track. When you get associate and tenure, now you can say, okay, what is it I want to do, and where can I make an impact, and what would make me feel satisfied, and move in on that. I'm a big believer in mentors. Find yourself somebody that you think is successful in that role and has been for a while, a senior person, and ask if you can work with them.
So what about being on, you know, carefully selecting a committee to be on, or, you know, do you have any advice at that level?
I can tell you what I didn't do that I realized after I started the interdisciplinary program is I was on lots of committees, all within the Faculty of Management. I would go, if I had it to do over again, from the day I got here, I would have been on university-wide, broader committees so that I knew more people and that there were different ways of doing things.
Yeah, that's good advice. What about the careful selection of committees that have certain mandates? So young faculty members often say, I want to be in the library committee because they're going to meet and have tea twice a year, that sort of approach, versus being strategic about picking committees.
Probably the most strategic committee I served on, and I got some junior faculty that I thought were had high potential to serve on, was the Promotion and Tenure Committee. They get to see what it takes, and they get to see what the rest of the committee is saying about cases that come forward. And I think that helps you position yourself when you're coming forward. So I would say that's strategically very important. And many of these committees, differs by university, will want a junior person on it. In the Faculty of Management, we had two junior faculty. It was mandated, it had to be junior faculty, which I thought was a very good training ground for them. Other committees, well, yeah, some of the committees you pick because you got to be on three committees. That's the rule. Well, don't pick three of the heaviest workload committees. You got other things you want to do in your own program of study.
But be strategic about it. So one outside the faculty, one kind of light load, one medium load.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. The committees I've had the most frustration with would be curriculum committees. And I think we came up with great curriculum changes in the School of Business committees that I was on, and very little implementation. And so it was quite frustrating. We thought we came up with, I can think of one 20 years ago that if we rolled it out today, it would be called an innovative School of Business curriculum. And it never, people just taught their same old stuff. They didn't.
Yes, it was the talk and not the do. So make sure you get on something that's got some action plan.
Right. Some of the advice I've given my own PhD students is if you go into academia, that work on committees that the implementation can be a smaller group, where you can be selective. Let's get these three people and do this project. Whereas when the implementation is the entire faculty, like a curriculum, it's herding cats, you know, the expression.
So what about moving from, so now you've been on three or four select committees, moving in to be a chair or an associate dean, do you think just go for the big time, or should you sort of, you know, earn your stripes by going through chairs? What about being a chair of a committee first or something?
Oh, definitely you should do that. And you should have some experience. Another one I was on is, I was the faculty person on the MBA FS that took it to grad studies and took it to Senate, even. And I was considered the point person, and so I was chair of that. And point persons, the translation for that is lightning rod.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
This was in 96, it was a different administration in grad studies, and that was like pulling teeth to get any sort of attraction there at all. And then Senate, and everybody was just saying, this is, you know, and there seem to be people that are not willing to do anything, but they are willing to throw stones.
Well, that's a university,
yeah.
Jack.
Exactly. But let me tell you, when you're chair of a thing like that, those people come out in droves.
So would you...
So you have to build... It's a good experience to get through and survive, and then be stupid like me and volunteer to do it two more times. but you realize that, hey, I can develop a thick skin on this, and I can choose what's right and stand by it. Just don't develop too thick a skin, because you want to be able to listen to good advice, too.
But it does seem that would be a good practice run experience building if you wanted to be a chair, because you've got all those other herding of cats to do.
Yes, we always say... you can't please all the people all the time, and you can kind of sometimes you can tell how good a job you're doing by who doesn't like you. You might be doing a good. That might mean you're good, doing a very good job. Anywhere you can get experiences like that, but I would definitely talk to other administrators, other people who've been through. And one of my favorite questions: if you had it to do all over again, what would you do differently?
And the answer for you would be?
Oh, I would take the JobKeeper again. Yeah. Maybe I'd drink more or something. I don't know, to relieve my stress in after hours. That's the funny thing about it. I can cringe at it, but I'd say, no, I'd do it.
Okay, do you have any last, you know, top tip for these eager young new administrators?
My publication is I think the typical. I had the year before I was the administrator, I had over a dozen publications in that year. The first year on the job, I had 7, and the only reason I got that many is I had a bunch in the pipe. And the second year, I had 4. And the year after, I had 4. So leaving doesn't mean you're going to ramp back up. It takes a while to get these things going. And so it was a little frustrating because I had a lot of things I did want to do and I did want to write. And you have to say, okay, what am I going to get to? What am I not? Unless you've got an overabundance of energy.
So is it a reasonable expectation that somebody can do, really be an administrator and produce academic material at the same pace that they were before?
I have only known one or two that can do it. I don't think it's possible. No, I think you run into the speed of light in time management. The equivalent of that is there's 24 hours in a day. You don't have 26.
Not to mention families and things like that. Yeah. So that's pretty good advice to keep your expectations in line with reality.
You just raised a good one, though, too, is block out some time for the what's important. You know, so I had both my children in university, and I was blocking out time to have a coffee with them once a week on campus. I did try to block out times. I went away with my wife.
Who's still speaking to you?
Still speaking to me, and was very supportive of the role, and saw that I was doing some good. So what did get backburned was the research. You know, I got a teaching reduction, but I still was teaching and still enjoying the teaching. So that I was getting the reward from the teaching, I got less reward from the research, but I did get. I think it was made up for my reward from the job.
Okay, so. And it's never too late to come back as keeper.
Yeah, and I said I would do it again if we went back.
I missed that part. Okay, well, thanks, Jack. That's very instructive.
Oh, thank you.
That's it for this episode. Next time, we'll hear with Doug Pierce, Associate Vice President Graduate and Dean of Graduate Studies at York University, thinks of university administration. Unlike Jack, Doug is a keener on administration, so his perspective and advice to young faculty thinking of this career route may actually surprise you. So please join me next month, and we'll talk to Doug and find out. Thanks, bye.